You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Title Town Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Welcome to Title Town Sound, episode number 87, the Jordy Nelson edition of the show. And it's going to be a very special show. You're about to find out why. I, of course, am the little sandwiches with the crusts cut off, known as Bobbo. Also on the show today is the hors d'oeuvres plate, Mr. James Corsmo. James, how are you doing?
Ooh, little tiny delicious nuggets of wonderful food and awesomeness. I'm good, man.
Yeah.
I'd be those water chestnuts with the bacon on them. That's what I'd be.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, water chestnuts and bacon. Man, I just realized I haven't had dinner yet. Anyway, you may notice that nobody else is talking / laughing / complaining, and that's because there is nobody else here this week. We were hoping to have a couple guests from the TitletownSoundoff.com Tundra Talk podcast, but we've been having some technical issues, so that hasn't worked out, and Chris isn't here, and Jeremy isn't here, so, you know, when the responsible people are away, the two of us will play. Isn't that right?
Obviously, the leash is off now. There's just wild piano music behind us everywhere we go, and it's fantastic here. My shirt's off right now. I just want you to know that.
Do you think we should make a fortress of dreams?
That's what we're going to be doing on tonight's show.
Sure is.
But first things first, let's talk about the game that was the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. And my goodness, we thought at the beginning of the year it was going to be steamrolling Packers going up against this poor little Eagles team that had maybe won a 2-3 games all year, trying to win a big one for Doug Peterson.
Steve
Peterson, too, because, you know, he's a class act. We'll get him on the show one day. But it wasn't that going in, but the Packers end up getting a win, and we actually saw some flashes of the Packers offense. So I have to ask you, James, because you're the only other person here. How confident are you going forward with Green Bay's offense?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm about a 6.5 or a 7. Philadelphia's secondary has been very good throughout the year. They've statistically actually done really well. They're in the top, I think, 10 or 12 teams for pass defense. And over the last year and a half, we've really struggled against those types of teams. And for whatever reason, it looked fairly easy this week. It was nice. So it's going to be a different from week to week. Now, Houston is obviously pretty good in pass defense-wise. They're not as good as they would be if they had an actual pass rush anymore. But and then going forward back to the NFC North, you know, I think that the possibility is there. I feel a lot better about it this week than I did last week. I just hope it's sustained.
Yeah, it felt a little bit like we were in a Wayback Machine watching the Packers offense, those quick passes. As I said during the broadcast, you can't sack Aaron Rodgers if he's releasing the ball a half a second after he gets it.
No, I mean, it was the weirdest thing ever. I felt like I was in a dream because Mike McCarthy actually did the right thing, and he did it like over and over and over again.
And by that you mean hand the ball to Aaron Rutkowski, right?
Well, yeah, yes. Yes, I do. That was glorious, and we can talk about that later if we want, but oh my goodness gracious. My bearded ginger wonder pet just did a fantastic job, and that was creepy, and I don't care, because he knows how I feel about him. Their restraining order says so.
This is true. I've seen it. Yeah, I guess really with the Packers offense, on the one hand, as you said, we got to be encouraged because if your offense is going to be awesome, you need it to be awesome against even the crappiest of opponents. They need to just, you know, do the job they're supposed to do, and they did that. Whether Philadelphia's got the 20th worst, or the 20th best, rather, defense, or the 32nd, or the 132nd worst defense in the league, I don't know how that'd be possible, but regardless, they did get the job done.
No, they didn't, and it was really great to see the offensive line. For the most part, Jason Spriggs had a lot of opportunities to get beat really badly by a premier defensive lineman in Fletcher Cox, and he, other than a few plays here and there where he let Cox get into the pocket, he did a very good job, and they schemed it really well. Just the quick outs and the quick slants and it was schemed really well. It was by far, in my opinion, the best coached game of the year. So kudos to Potato Head McCarthy for that.
Yes, indeed. And putting the smile on the potato heads that are the fans, like ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Yep. We got to switch to the defense because two sides to every coin. And the other side of this coin, not that good. Kind of dirty. A lot of icky nastiness, some dirt, some gum, some unidentifiable substance on there. Yeah, that kind of didn't have their... Eagles did not have their lead running back. They were missing some receivers. Jordan Matthews got knocked out of the game. And Philadelphia's still kind of moving the ball. I guess, I don't know, defensively, how confident, on that 1 to 10 scale, how confident are you with the Packer defense right now?
Negative 12 is where I'm at with the Packer. Until I see sustained... I hate to keep using that word, but they need to sustain success. And over the past five games, it's been a really rough stretch for them. And I know there have been injuries and things have been changing. But during the first quarter, when we all thought the game was going to be 62-61 and whoever had the ball last in the fourth is going to win, it was just downright ugly. There were receivers getting open all over the field, and it was ugly. And once they started to shore that up a little bit, they were able to run, but they were so far behind they had to abandon that. So if the Packers can somehow manage to get out to sizable leads, then they should be good. I think the best thing that happened for the defense this game was the offense kept them off the field, and that's about the only way they're going to be successful going forward, I think.
As a wise man once said, the best defense is a good offense.
Ah. And
I think that was definitely the case. So I guess to further, get a little deeper into the defense, I guess, if Clay Matthews is staying at middle linebacker, inside linebacker, excuse me, and let's say he's basically okay. Let's say he's more or less 100% or close to it. How confident? I mean, does that give you any more confidence? Because it's probably not happening, but we'll put it out there.
If somehow magically Clay Matthews uses the right Tide detergent and it makes his muscles regenerate or his AC joint or whatever's busted on him, hashtag ad. We know that Clay Matthews can play middle linebacker, inside linebacker at a high level. We saw it last year. He did it a lot. But there were... I rewatched the game today on Tuesday here, and he missed so many open gaps where he needed to be to plug the holes. The running back just zoomed through. He whiffed on a couple sacks. He had Carson Wentz once right... dead to rights and just whiffed on him, and Wentz ended up getting a first down out of it. And that's not to mention Alan Barber turning him into jello. So I think he'll get it back if we need him to do it, but I'm not confident in him right now. He's not healthy. Regardless of how his shoulder is, his knees or his hamstring still isn't healthy, so it might be a long road for him.
Yeah, and anytime Alan Barber is making you look bad...
I did not like that guy before the game.
Yeah. I will say this though, Clay's hair still looks fabulous.
Oh my god, I will never deny that Clay Matthews he's a Greek god. Like, and I'm not ashamed to say how I feel, and I would like to just touch his bicep once. That's all I really want. And maybe it'll happen someday. I don't know.
Maybe. And nobody said how long you'd have to touch it for.
No. Or with what?
Yeah. And so that restraining order is now on its way. Let's move on to the next subject.
I'm a collector.
that you are. We did want to touch on Aaron Rodgers a little bit, so to speak.
what a segue.
Yeah, and really, his numbers have been pretty good lately, and he looked, you know, terrific on Monday. Should people officially be getting off this guy's back already? And I guess to go back to the scale thing, on a scale of 5 to 17, 12 being the highest, how confident are you in Aaron Rodgers?
14. Hang on a minute. Wait a minute. Math. Okay. 5 to 17, 12 being the highest.
Yes. It doesn't need to make sense.
I'm sticking with 14 because that sounds good to me, and it's two more higher than the highest, which I think is what I feel like he's going to be. I don't like his beard.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, I like his tent, though. Was that in his contract or something? Because I would like a tent.
Who wouldn't? I've never seen that before, ever, and they're acting like it's always there. I've never seen that before, and he's going into this magic shaman tent where he's, you know, massaged and rubs with oils and liniments, and he comes out with a weird thing on his leg, and the sideline reporter's treating it like the Zapruder film, just like, you know, rewatching it over and over. It was crazy. Weird stuff surrounds this team. I don't understand it.
How great would it be to see that tent start photobombing pictures? Can some listener make that a thing?
Make it happen.
That'd be fantastic.
Just start photoshopping the tent into, like, by the pyramids of Giza. Or, like, by the Eiffel Tower. Just
yes.
Make it happen.
Oh, that'd be amazing. All right, speaking of you lovely listeners that we adore so much, we are going to jump now to Twitter questions. I forgot, do we have a drop for Twitter yet?
I don't believe we have a drop for Twitter yet.
Okay, Twitter! There it is. We had a few questions here. Ace of Shade had a question, which we're going to save because he kind of noted Chris on that one, so we'll ask that one when Chris gets back. At What Are You Tinkin' asks, did James and or Chris faint when the Ripper scored a touchdown? Again, Chris not here this week. James, did you faint when Ripper scored his touchdown?
I did not faint. I did emit a noise from my mouth region that consisted of syllables that I don't think were invented yet, but they are now, and I was super, super happy. And all kidding aside, I am seriously happy for the guy. He's one of my favorite players for many reasons, but he really is the glue, I think, that is keeping Aaron Rodgers from getting killed a lot. He's there in the backfield blocking people. He's trucking over fools. One of my greatest joys in life, in all of my life, is watching big dudes in pads that are on my team run over other big dudes from other teams and just leave them laying flat. And he does it a lot, and it makes me happy.
That he does. And I think that's why Jeremy's not here, actually, is he is still weeping tears of joy over it.
He is, and we're getting him the help he needs. And get well soon, Jeremy.
Yes, we're going to get him a nice stuffed pillow in the shape of Aaron Ripkowski, and he can just hug that to his little heart's content.
Aww.
Yeah. See, now that he's not going to get that, he's going to kick us both off the show.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's too bad. We had a good run. At Rust, did we ever figure out Rusty's last name?
Oh, man, I think it's like Gronkowski?
Rusty Schickenbecker asks, it's spelled W-E-I-S-E, so there you go. Which upcoming game do they, referring to the Packers, rip out our hearts again and rip our hearts? Ah, I can't read at all. Which upcoming game do they rip our hearts?
You need to listen to some music.
Oh, the pain. Yeah, I need to bring that nice piano music back we were listening to for about 2 hours before. It was glorious. Which upcoming game do they rip our hearts out again? And I'll just say, I think it's a couple weeks yet, because Houston's coming up next, and they're kind of not doing so good. We'll get into some of the stats of the Texans later, but James, what are you thinking?
Knowing the track record of this team, especially over the last 5 years, I what I feel is inevitable is that they're going to win out until week 17, and then... is it Minnesota or Detroit week 17? I think it's Detroit, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. I think it's Detroit, yeah.
That they're going to lose that in, like, overtime. And on some boneheaded, stupid defensive play, probably made by, I don't know, Ladarius Gunter. And then we'll all weep and go calling for heads to be chopped. Because that's what we do.
Yeah, I come to think that that sounds right, because it seems like that's the way it usually goes, is we get strung along as long as possible, like a terrible drama, like a Lifetime movie or something.
Yep.
Where you know what the ending's going to be, it just takes forever to get there. And
It's like a Friday the 13th movie. There's 18 of them, and every single one is exactly the same, and it all ends the same way, and you know what's going to happen well ahead of time, but you still watch it anyway.
Yep. And we're going to take a break in just a moment here. We also had a request on Twitter to mention the Brazilian football team. We've got friends, the Cheeseheads Brazil folks, and who are fantastic, and we adore them.
They are great.
They are. And, of course, there was a Brazilian soccer team that suffered a plane crash, and many players deceased in that. So wanted to mention Chapecoense, and our thoughts are with them, of course, and their fans. And another tragedy you never like to see or hear, but yeah, just wanted to mention we're thinking of you guys, and obviously, you know, hopefully we don't have to ever talk about another incident like this again. But on that note, just wanted to mention thinking of that. And when we come back from break, we are going to play voicemails, and we are going to play our usual little games that we like to play here. So here's our ad break coming at you right now. Bobo here, delighted once again to talk with you about our friends over at What's the Score, the Sports News Quiz. If you haven't listened to their show yet, they've got a slew of great panelists showcasing their sports knowledge. I'm talking TV personalities like WISN's Dan Needles, CBS 58's Kevin Holden, and WTMJ's Lance Allen. And radio people you may already be listening to in the Milwaukee area, people like Armin Sarian, Matt Pauly, and Doug Russell. What's the Score can be found on Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, and of course their website, WTSSportsQuiz.com. You can also find out how to be a contestant on the show there. Tell them Titletown Sound sent you. That's WTSSportsQuiz.com.
Hey, Titletown Sound listeners, we appreciate you listening to us every week, and we have a question, a favor actually, to ask. Could you give us a rating? Look, does the podcast make your ears bleed? No? Good. Then give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us so that people can find us easier, can search us, and our podcast shows up in the ratings. When you rate us and give us a review, it makes us more visible. And hey, don't you want others to have to suffer through this podcast just like you do?
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
episode 87, and just James and I, in case you're joining us late, which I don't know how that's possible because it's a podcast, you can go back and start at the beginning anytime you want. But that said, it's time for voicemails. You ready, James?
I'm ready.
Ready to rip and roar and all that good stuff.
I'm psyched. Bring them on.
I'm actually a little nervous now because our first one is from Chris.
Oh, boy.
His thoughts.
He should be happy. The Packers won. He's in the magical land of enchantment with princesses and mermaids and lions that talk.
This is true. All right. Well, here is the voicemail from our buddy Chris.
Hey, guys. It's Chris. I'm literally calling from the middle of a princess dinner. Everybody else got up from the table, so I'm sneakily calling you. I just want to say, don't get happy. One win does not mean everything's turned around. I'm still worried that this team has an irreparably bad defense. That concerns me. Julius Pepper showed up a little bit, but Clay Matthews and his cotton candy ligaments and tendons and everything worries me. I'm in ultimate pessimist mode at this point. I love beating the Eagles, but guys, do not get happy, and please don't let this be just enough so that we hang on to Capers and McCarthy. All right, guys, I'm out of here from Disney World. I'll talk to you later.
All right, that was Chris, who was sending that voicemail to us, actually, from a big princessy dinner, he told us, and he can confirm that next week. So Chris should be as happy as a clam, but he's saying we shouldn't be too happy, and we did kind of touch on that already. Like, yeah, the defense still kind of stinks, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy should we be, Chris?
Well, I'm James, by the way. First of all, I hope you're having a great time down there, Chris, and it's one of my favorite places in the world. But I think you're violating every term and condition of the Disney code of conduct when you tell people not to get happy. That's just, it's something that they frown upon as a guest or as an employee. And you need to read the handbook because there's punishments. Second of all, look, I'm at a point now where I don't have expectations anymore. I just don't. My expectation is that I'm going to sit down every week and I'm going to watch the Packers and I'm going to be happy if they win and I'm going to be bummed if they lose. And then, you know, life will go on until the next week and it'll repeat. I learned early this season to not have expectations because every time I had expectations, I would end up feeling really, really bad. So to protect myself, that's what I'm doing, and it's working. So I'm happy. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, I guess for me, I do have raised expectations a little bit for this week because it's Houston and because Houston's really, you know, kind of crappy right now. Overall, though, still got Minnesota coming up again, still got Detroit, and there's too much Seattle as well, you know, still coming up. So, I would say we can't get too excited by this. I don't think a lot of fans really are getting too excited by this.
No.
I think enough people are grounded in reality that we know this is,
yeah, no,
this is nice.
I haven't seen an outpouring of, oh my God, Super Bowl, here we come. I've seen a lot of, okay, this was nice, but we're going to get killed next week. Or we're going to get killed in 2 weeks or whatever. Pessimism is reigning supreme.
Yes. And this will tell you how level-headed a guy Chris is. He is at Disney World with his family, eating with princesses. Very pretty princesses, too. I will say, I've seen the pictures. And Chris loves to see the Eagles lose. And even he's saying, temper expectations, people.
Do you think, with all the princesses there, that Jeff Janis is there somewhere today?
Our next voicemail comes from our good friend Sam, who won't be saying such things about Jeff Janis, I sincerely hope. But no, I don't think Jeff Janis is there.
Because he's a prince, not because he's a prince. Anyway, Sam.
Hey guys, Sam again. So I'd say, I'm so impressed. We get to celebrate a win. What is going on? Like, I feel like this offense really stood up today and said, We will walk 500 miles to win this game. If they needed to, they would have walked 500 more just to be that team that walked 1,000 miles to beat Philadelphia tonight. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more if there be a man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
God, I love that so much. Oh my goodness gracious. Sam, first of all, I want you to call every day. Like, don't stop calling. Call multiple times per day. I know it probably costs money, but figure something out. Make it happen. I'm rooting for you, because, oh my God, that was amazing. Second of all, I love that song. I have that song on my iPod right now. It's a great song. And the reference made me happy. Yeah, that was good.
That is very good stuff. Yeah, I can't say I would go 500 miles, but I'd walk a mile or two, I suppose.
from Kroll's across the street from Lambeau to Lambeau?
Yeah, if we were talking about winning the Super Bowl, I'd go 500 miles. But I don't know, maybe I'm a tougher audience. Maybe I'm unreasonable. Could be.
I don't know, I would never go that far.
Yeah, you wouldn't go 500 miles, or you wouldn't...
I would never call you reasonable, is what I'm... I've never walked... I think if you took all the miles that I've walked in my life, it might equal 500 miles. Mm. And I'm 36 years old. There's a chance that maybe I've walked 500 miles in my life.
I may be in that neighborhood, but anyway. On that note, let's go to our next quasi-segment, for which we probably still don't have a drop yet. Jeremy will let me know if we do. It's called Papa K's Nuggets of Wisdom. And this is, of course, again, if you don't know who Papa K is, it is Bill Christofko, Chris's dad, who dropped some fantastic word on us. And also kind of, you know, helps us remember that the Packers have not always enjoyed such success that we're used to, that we're accustomed to over the last many years. So... let's hear what Bill's got to say this week.
Hi, this is Bill Christofko with some random thoughts after the Packers' victory over the Philadelphia Eagles tonight. A surprising victory in some ways, but certainly a satisfying one. A couple of thoughts. We saw a great performance from Aaron Rodgers tonight. He was really in charge. He surgically tore up the Eagle defense, the short passes, his own running game. What that did to me was reinforce the need that while we have this man in his prime, somebody has got to take leadership to fix this roster. Aaron Rodgers is too good to have mediocre talent in so many key areas around him. He was outstanding, as I said, I really hope that somebody takes the reins and will fix this club so that we can have some Super Bowl runs during the rest of Aaron Rodgers' career here. Second thought was, I remember reading a blog last year, and I agreed with it at the time, somebody questioning about how the Packers could have taken Devontae Adams ahead of Allen Robinson in the 2014 draft. Adams went number 53 in that draft, and Robinson went 61. So the Packers had a chance to get Allen Robinson. Last year, and that's what was the inspiration for the blog, Adams had 50 receptions for 483 yards and one touchdown and averaged 9.7 yards per reception. Robinson, on the other hand, had an explosive year with 80 receptions, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns, and 17.5 yards per catch. This year, of course, quarterback play has a lot to do with it. Robinson has pretty much fallen off the face of the earth. He's down to 591 yards, and his average is down to 11.2 yards. Maybe we're seeing the real Devontae Adams now. Maybe this really is a star in the making. And maybe the injuries from last year were really what kept him down. He was outstanding tonight, and really shows promise of becoming an even better wide receiver on this Packer offense, especially with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. Couple other notes. Mike McCarthy, please stop with the timeouts on defense with 2 or 3 minutes left in the first half. It only leads to opponents' points. Although we'll have to say in McCarthy's defense, tonight the Eagles only got a field goal rather than a touchdown after his use of a timeout in the last 2 or 3 minutes. So I guess we have to consider that progress. Mike saved 4 points this week. But he's got to knock that off with the timeouts. It never works. This defense simply isn't good enough to stop the clock. You want the clock to run out because it seems absolutely invariable that the teams are going to march down the field at the end of the half against this defense. And Nick Perry, 2 times, neutral zone infractions on 3rd and long. Come on, Nick. Don't move till you see the ball move. I was watching also on Thanksgiving, as Sam Bradford was matriculating the Vikings down the field at 2.5 yards a clip, and was inspired to think about the famous Dan Devine trade for John Hadle back in the day. Devine was fearful that he was going to lose his job. He had no quarterback, so he traded 2 number 1s and 2 number 2s for a noodle-armed quarterback, John Hadle of the Rams. Hadle had been very good in the AFL, but his time was up. He was, I believe, 33. His arm was pretty much shot. But Devine thought that maybe bringing Hadle in would save his job. What got me thinking was, as much as we don't like some of Ted Thompson's passivity in talent acquisition, never in a million years would Thompson have made a trade like this, a 1 and a 4 for a journeyman quarterback like Sam Bradford. A team with a bad offensive line and no running game, trading away 2 high picks, a 1, and he could have even, the second one could end up being a 2, for Sam Bradford, for an instant fix, for instant gratification that is not working out. If you really want to look at bad management, Google that John Hadle trade. It set the Packers back years, and it'll be interesting to see how much this sets the Vikings back. At least we can be grateful that Thompson would never do something like that. In conclusion, it was a satisfying victory tonight. I loved that final drive where the Packers took, what, 8, 9 minutes off the clock with the running game, the short passing game. That's the kind of football that's very enjoyable to watch, a dominating performance by the offense. The defense was good enough against a mediocre offense. Rodgers said the Packers could run the table. Hey, why not? I'm not expecting it, but back in the day, a number of years ago, Jim Fossil of the Giants said that they would win the rest of their games and make the playoffs. That was laughed at when the comment was made, but the team rallied around him. And who knows, it certainly seemed like the Packers rallied around something tonight. Rodgers showed leadership and trust in his teammates and the coaching staff by making that comment. And who knows, we'll see how the last 5 games play out. But anything's possible in the NFL. Not expecting it, but stranger things have happened. Tonight's performance was certainly a hopeful one. Thank you. Good night.
All right. So again, of course, a lot that Bill packs into those few minutes there. But to, I guess, speak firstly to, he said, Google that John Hadle trade. I'm actually reading a book by Rob Reichel right now, and I apologize, I'm blanking on the name of it. But it's a big book about the Packers, and I was actually just reading that part about the Hadle trade. And one of the players referred to that deal as, to sort of laugh it off a little bit, he said we called it the Lawrence Welk trade because it was a 1-2, a 1-2-3 that they traded away, which I thought was pretty good.
That's
creative. So yeah, that Hadle deal and yeah, Dan Devine did not leave the team better than when he came in. And I think that really it was because of that Hadle trade, especially, that really buried the Packers, because that was that's akin to just you can't draft anything. You can't draft anything for basically 2 years there, and that was bad. And we were yucking it up earlier in the year when the Vikings traded for Sam Bradford, and the trades turned out better than we were expecting, I think. But I'll hand it over to you on that note, James. Just anybody who's not familiar with John Hadle. As Hadle himself has said, hey, I'm not the guy who made the trade, so. But yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, that definitely goes down as one of the worst ever, I think. Bill, thanks for calling, first of all. I would pay money to go and just watch him speak and to speak about life. It's amazing. But he's absolutely correct about everything he said. Ted Thompson, and I give Ted Thompson more crap than anybody, I think. I've wanted him gone for a couple years now. But one good thing about him is that there's not a chance he would have ever made a trade like that. And he values his draft picks, and he will save them and use them and nurture them. And he would never just be so cavalier about giving them away. That's number one. Number two, I agree. Aaron Rodgers had an amazing game. An amazing game. Probably his best game in the last year and a half from beginning to end. It was amazing. I hope he can build on that and hope his hamstring is not too badly hurt. And number three, the defense is what the defense is. They just got to figure out a way to manage it. He's dead on in everything that he said. So I can't really add a whole lot of value to it.
Yeah, I think we would listen to Bill give an hour-long lecture on paint drying.
I really would.
Yeah. And I should correct something that I just said. I said it was a Rob Reichel book. It's a William Pavletich book called Green Bay Packers, Trials, Triumphs, and Tradition, and working through that very slowly. But it's a good read. And Rob Reichel's books are good, too.
So. Yeah, they are good. I like Reichel.
Yeah, I've read Leaders of the Pack. Dealing with quarterbacks, and that was a tremendous read as well. So visit your local library. They'll be more than happy to tell you all about it.
Butterfly in the sky.
I can fly twice as high. Okay, we need to stop singing quickly. So let's talk true or false. Woo. We don't have a drop for this yet either, do we?
True or false?
That's fantastic. Oh, I didn't know we had a drop. Let's see, how did we do last week? James, how do you think we did last week?
I know for sure that I got screwed out of one at the end of the game when Nick Perry got a sack with like 4 seconds left. Because I think one of the questions was the linebackers will have two or more sacks, and I believe I said false. And I believe that was their third.
But it was, yes.
But other than that, I have no idea.
Well, actually, it was a pretty good week overall for us. We did get Chris's picks in, and Chris only got two right. The rest of us actually all got three right. All
right.
So we actually all said false on that linebacker one, so we all got hosed on that. But other than that, you know, not a bad week. Not a bad week. So you are still in first place.
All right.
With a 32-25 record. Jeremy in second with 26 right. I have 25. Chris is at 22. Which will make his comeback all the more outstanding. It's gonna happen.
It will happen. He's like Rudy.
Yeah, he's like the Packers this year, except he's actually gonna get it done. I mean, where's that Price is Right horn? So, anyways, if you're ready, I'll proceed with the questions.
Hit me.
Which are not really questions, but whatever. Number one, Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 3 touchdowns. Rodgers is second in the league with 27 touchdown passes. Houston is tied for 8th least touchdown passes allowed with 14. So again, Aaron Rodgers throws for at least 3 touchdowns. James, true or false?
True. He's going to have to if they want to win since they don't run the ball anymore. So yeah, true.
I concur with that analysis. I'm going to say true as well. Number two, Brock Osweiler throws for at least 235 yards. Osweiler is 32nd in the league with an average of 209.7 passing yards per game. Packers defense is allowing an average of 260.6 passing yards per game, which is 12th worst in the league. So, happy medium is 235. Brock Osweiler throws for at least 235 yards. James, true or false?
DeAndre Hopkins terrifies me. Because he's the type of receiver that the Packers haven't been able to cover all year long. And yes, it's Brock Osweiler, and he's the most overpaid player in the history of the NFL, maybe, possibly, not named Tim Tebow. He'll get more than 235. I don't think he'll get much more, but he'll get more than that. He'll probably get 180 to Hopkins alone.
All right, I'm going to be difficult and say false just for some reason. I don't really have any good logic behind that whatsoever. I thought 235 is kind of a fairly low number, but screw it, I'll say false. Number three, Lamar Miller rushes for more yards than the entire Packers team. Miller has 881 rushing yards through 11 games. That is fifth best in the league, and he averages 80.1 rushing yards per game. Green Bay has averaged 98.2 rushing yards per game, 11th worst in the league, but have averaged just under 76 rushing yards per game over the last three games, that is. Lamar Miller rushes for more than the entire Packers team. James, true or false?
I'm not going to lie. I'm actually really, really shocked we're outside of the bottom 10 for rushing. I really would have thought we'd been in the number one or number two for least amount of rushing yards. That being said, I'm going to say true. False. False. I feel like I don't know, but I'll say false just because we need to get on with the show.
Fair enough. I will say true, although I'm not sure how confident I am in that exactly. So, but anyways, Packers run defense is not quite as sturdy as it was. So I guess that's what I'm looking at.
It's not. But the other teams open them up with passing, and they can't stack the box anymore. And, you know, Mike Daniels is only one very large man.
This is true. He may have eaten another very large man, but
it's true.
We won't get into that now. Number four, the Packers record at least one interception. Osweiler is tied for the league lead with 13 picks thrown this year. Green Bay's defense has recorded just 8 interceptions. They're kind of middle of the road in that category league-wide. So the Packers record at least one interception. I'm going to be nice, and I'm even going to tell you I'm going to say true to this. So, James?
Why, thank you for that. I'm also going to say true. I believe in the law of averages, and I think that they got to start coming fairly at some point here. The season's almost over, so yes, somebody's getting a pick.
All righty, both saying true there. Number five, because I got to ask this because he had a good week, Aaron Ripkowski gets at least 5 touches. Last week, Ripper had 3 carries and 2 receptions. He has 19 rushes on the season for 73 yards. And 6 catches for 27 yards. So Aaron Ripkowski gets at least 5 touches. So rushing, receiving. I will even throw in passing at no additional charge.
Ooh.
So Aaron Ripkowski, 5 touches at minimum. True or false?
You know, I'm going to say false. Only because I think Christy and Michael have had another week to be integrated into the offense. And unfortunately for me and my fanboy ways, Ripper's going to be a blocking back only this week.
Thought I would get you on this one, but because I said false too, but maybe we'll still get Jeremy. You think we can trick him into this, taking true on that?
I think we can. Just dub over, when you say Ripkowski, dub over, like, you know, somebody else. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I should totally cheat.
Trickery.
This game. Yeah.
You should be the Tom Brady of the podcast.
Yes. Oh my goodness. The double reverse flea flicker portion of the show. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Let's move on to the segment we have decided. So, and when I say we, I mean people that are not me. have decided to call Spread 'em.
All right, hands on the hood and spread 'em.
We were all wrong. Horribly, terribly wrong last week. So there's no change in the standings. Chris is, I believe, at 500 right now in spread 'em. I am one game behind him. You and Jeremy are two games behind Chris. And we do not have a line from Bovada for some reason. They do not seem to have a lineup today. So we are going to oddsshark.com. They have Green Bay minus 6.5. So basically, if you pick Green Bay in spread 'em this week, you're saying Green Bay will win by 7 points or more. If you're picking Houston, you are picking Houston to win or have a tie, or that the Packers will win by less than 6.5 points. Does that sound right?
That does. That's exactly right.
I'm never going to feel confident that I got that right. But anyway, so Green Bay minus 6.5. James, which way are you going to go on this one?
I've been struggling with this. I've been thinking about the whole podcast. I think I'm going to go... I'm going to go with the Packers. I think I hate to do it, but because I got burned every other time I've taken the Packers, but I think that Houston's ripe for the taking, and hopefully they pluck them.
Yeah, I have to agree. As Chris was saying, don't, you know, we shouldn't get too excited and all that, but I got to do it for one more week because it's Houston. I mean, It's freaking Houston. There's no J.J. Watt to be concerned with.
Nope.
If J.J. Watt were healthy, this would completely change my opinion.
If J.J. Watt were healthy, I would say start Brett Hundley.
That would... I'd be on the bandwagon with you. I'd say, you know what? How about a no quarterback set? Do we have those? Just put Montgomery, Starks, and Cobb in the backfield and just... run triple option or something.
Man, we'll turn into the Jets then. Just do wildcat plays for no reason.
And I'm just realizing we didn't talk about that option play.
We didn't. No, that was amazing.
That was. Dude, that was cool. The Packers run option, and then subsequently we do a podcast where it's just you and me. So, go figure. We are the option of, well, I don't know, that sounds weird.
We're not the best option, but we're an option.
We are an option, that's for sure. And you know, I'm just admittedly feeling a little out of sorts because it's just you and me here today. And I'm just feeling a little bit down that Chris and Jeremy aren't here this week, and I hope that those two gentlemen are listening in and they know that we miss them terribly, and we hope that they will be back on the show very soon.
I feel incomplete without them here. My soul is missing two major components, and I need them back in my life.
I remember the days where the four of us would go out to the beach.
Oh, I have missed those days.
Hands on shoulders, kicking our feet up in the air.
Oh, we'd all wear matching bucket hats.
We'd all wearing matching shorts.
Board shorts, yes.
And that crab came along.
Oh god, the crab!
And Jeremy ran up and kicked it really far.
Why did he do that, Jeremy?
But it was sort of funny at the time. We laughed and laughed.
But that crab had a family.
And he kicked them too.
Damn you, Jeremy.
But still, we miss you. We miss both of you.
Even though you stomp crabs.
So anyway, that's it for the show. Please be sure to check out TitletownSoundoff.com, where we've got tons of good stuff. And James has his usual quick slants, right?
Yep, that's up there. There should be a recap up either tomorrow or the next day as well.
The names of everything is just meshing in my head right now. I'm all emotional. But yes, we have oodles of stuff going up there all the time, of course. You can follow us on Twitter, at TitletownSound. Thank you for tweeting. Thank you for sending your voicemails. Is that the proper term, sending your voicemails?
I believe it is. I believe you can fax your voicemails.
leave your voicemails or potty train your voicemails or whatever it is. James, do you happen to have the voicemail number? Because as per usual, I have completely neglected. I think I mentioned it's actually in my contract to not know the voicemail number.
I signed the same contract, to be honest with you.
All right.
I know it begins with the 920 and it ends with the TTSO. It's a three in the middle that I always forget.
There you go. So be sure to go to our Twitter, at TitletownSound, and you can tweet at James and myself as well, individually, if you like, and you can tell us what the doggone number is so that we can forget to look it up before next week's show. I am at That's Our Bobbo.
And I am at JKSub20, and because I didn't want anybody to do any extra work, I went and I found the number. So please, especially if you're Sam in Scotland or you're Bill Kristofko or anybody else, Lobby, I'm looking in your direction, anybody else, no matter what the outcome of the game or how it's going, we love to hear from you. We value your input, and you're always welcome. So please call 920-445-TTSO. Again, that's 920-445-TTSO.
All right, and on that note, I think we've pretty much covered everything. So, I don't know, James, you got any final words on this little podcast that's just a sort of a little vocal villa for you and I?
I just want to say that I do miss Jeremy and Chris a lot, and I certainly hope that we're back with them soon. I would also like to say thank you to Aaron Ripkowski for making my dreams come true. I would also like to say to Clay Matthews, take it easy. Don't overdo it. You're fragile.
Take it easy. I was gonna, I was gonna start quoting the song, but I don't know what that was.
No, so. don't do that.
Yeah, that's probably just as well. So on that note, thank you for listening to Titletown Sound. Once again, we will have probably more than two people next week. And and you can go to iTunes too, and rate us there.
Yes, rate us on iTunes. We're on all kinds of pod social media places, Stitcher and iTunes and Google Play. We're all over the place. So please check us out and give us ratings on iTunes, especially 5-star ratings. We need them. We love them. It really helps us branch out and get more out there. So please. Be nice to us.
You know, James, I played this soundbite earlier in the show.
Do you think we should make a fortress of dreams?
And I feel like we've done exactly that this week.
I feel like we have. Mission accomplished.
We truly have. And so, if you have nothing further to add, James?
I do not. Have a good week, everybody.
Very good. I will say, simply don't forget to pet your cat, and we will catch you. Or you will catch us, one way or the other, next week. Toodaloo.
Boy.
God, this is such f***ing crap. It's crap on top of crap smothered in shit.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. Don't you cross your heart unless you hope to die. Drinking dog whiskey. Burn, but the second one goes down smooth. And then that old black label gets a hold. It'll loosen your tongue, but it don't ever tell the truth. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. Don't you cross your heart. In the dark like it never would end the day. Then he gets in trouble just as soon as he gets his way. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday.
all over the neighborhood.